figure out the Shin Samach Seif base. Okay, these halakhas are a little technical. You have some pictures. I don't have one. We'll see if I can read a picture. Okay. Shin Samach Seif. Seif base. Hayushloisha the kifu called Sarham Umais Echad Shabis Mutar Bukhala Shabis. Okay, we have three people. We continue our discussion of a Shayara, the Mechitza Guru. Okay, we're gonna try to go quickly because these halachas are very technical and we'll try to just move along. We're dealing with the situation where a person is out in a big in a valley. And in the valley he wants to construct for himself some makeshift temporary mechitzos for Shabbos. So what does he do? He puts in the ground what's called the mechitzo gerua, a mechitzo that's not ideal. Why is it not ideal? Because either they're just konim, it's vertical little sticks in the ground, or horizontal ropes running around less than tetvach mi. Let's the case of shasi or erif. Shasi is where the person inserts in the ground sticks, and in between each stick there's less than three tvachim. Or he puts ropes, he sticks in four sticks in four corners, and around the four poles he takes rope and he creates erif, a horizontal line. And he does this within every three tefachim until he reached the height of 10 tefachim, and he has created for himself a mechitza gerua. And then we learned yesterday that in such a situation, even though this area has been enclosed for the purpose of living, so we would think there's no problem, you can carry here even if it's larger than a base sosayim. The chiddush, the main yesod of this siman is that being that this mechitza is a mechitza gerua, it's not an ideal, it's not a real wall, it's not a solid wall, it's a wall that's made from pieces of reed, which are little twigs, stuck in the ground, that are less than three tefachim apart. You only can carry in the enclosure inside as long as the enclosure is less than a base sosayim. And the base sosayim is 5,000 square amos. Once the enclosure, if the enclosure is larger than a base sosayim, you're not allowed to carry more than a dalet amos. This flies in the face of everything we learned in the previous siman. Previous siman we learned that every year that's enclosed with shem dira, there's no limitation. That's true. That's where you're dealing with the regular mechitz. We're dealing with mechitz of grua, you're only allowed to carry up to the area only as long as the enclosure is less than a base sosayim. Then we learned yesterday, but there is an exception. The exception is if there are three people together in this enclosure, then there's no limitation. Even though it's a mechitza gerua, it does not matter. The enclosure can be as large as you want. It's permitted to carry within the entire area, provided that you don't have any unoccupied space. If they have a lot of possessions, property, or things they're storing there, or they need a lot of area to walk around, that's fine. But as long as if there's an area within the enclosure that's more than a base of sign, it's going to ruin it for the entire enclosure. Now, in this simile, we deal with what happens if a person wants to, someone arrives on Shabbos. Let's say we started on Shabbos. When Shabbos begins, there are three people living inside, the Kifu called Sarcham, and they enclose a very large area, more than a three base of sign. And then umeis echad b'Shabbos. Someone on Shabbos dies. So the rule is mutar mechol Shabbos. This is the yisod. Okay, this even though this is a very obscure halacha, it's not in the yelach lemaisa, but it's a very powerful yisod which will apply as many halachas of Shabbos. The laws of mechitzos are defined when Shabbos begins. Even though the situation changes, it does not affect the halacha. So being that when Shabbos began, there were three people, and therefore you're allowed to have an enclosure that's more than what's normally allowed, even though on Shabbos the situation has changed and now there are only two people or one person, it does not matter. Once it was mutter to carry in the entire area when Shabbos began, it's mutter for the remainder of Shabbos. Kevon sin shenichnas haShabbos beheter, it's mutter for the remainder of Shabbos. However, next halacha, how you shnan, vice versa. Let's say when Shabbos began, there were only two people, and the enclosure was larger than what was permitted. If there's only two people, you're only allowed to have double times a base osayim. I'm dealing in a situation where there was more than double a base osayim, and it was too large, and therefore they were not allowed to carry more than dalet amos. And then on Shabbos itself, a third person joins them. It's too late. The halacha is determined at the beginning of Shabbos. Hayushnayim v'kifu yosem isasayim v'nitos v'aleim Shabbos, and the person joined them in Shabbos asur mitzvah in kevin shnitzel Shabbos b'iser. That's it. Once Shabbos began and it was asur, even though the situation changes, it remains asur. So the yisoid is the beginning of Shabbos will determine the status for the enclosure for the remainder of Shabbos, for better and for worse. Halacha gimel. Okay, this is a little complicated. The idea over here is, I'll try to illustrate here with some of these Mishnah Berurahs we have over here. Instead of having one large, or three people in the center, and one large enclosure with a mechitza grua for all them together, everyone wants to be independent. I will have my area, you will have your area, and the guy in the middle will have his area. So we're going to have really three separate enclosures. Privacy. What kind of privacy? We're dealing over here with weeds stuck in the ground, less than three tefachim, it's not much of privacy. But each one has their own separate area. Each is a base of him, a base of him, a base of him. Are they allowed to travel among each other? So that all depends on the making of the chatzeros, and all depends on how they overlap. Now, let me just show, give you an example of this picture. This picture, if you notice, the way I've illustrated it, you have also pictures there in your Mishnah Berurah. There are different pictures, but if you just look where I am over here, here is one enclosure, one enclosure, one enclosure. If it's exactly the way it is, then derech klal, everything is okay. Everything is fine and good. The problem arises where the walls overlap. Like what I'm showing you over here, where the wall of the center enclosure extends into the enclosure here and the enclosure here. The problem with this is that the person in the center doesn't see walls. As far as he only sees two walls. He doesn't see wall 3 and wall 4. So he can have a problem. The person on the left and on the right, where they live, they have corners on each side. So let's read the halacha quickly. How you gimel sif gimel? How you gimel? We have three people. The akifu kolecha liatzma. Each individual enclosed their own section. Zebitzadze. Each one, they all three are connected. The ervu yachat, and they all join together in the ruvei chatzeros. Im hachitzayim rechavim v'em tzoy kotzar. Like in this situation, the outer ones are wide, like you see in the picture. Okay, I don't have the picture in front of me, but you have in your Mishnah Berurah, where the outer ones are wide, and the center is narrow. Shinimtsa, the result is, so emtsoi parutz bimilua, the inner one is completely open to the outer ones. Lachitzonim, v'achitzonim sheyesh lohem gifufim oitvim olav, the outer ones have gifufim. Now, I'll just loosely translate gifufim to mean corners. Yifufim just means like a small section of the wall. But in this example, if you're on the outside and wherever you look, you can make out four walls. Now the fourth wall obviously is cut short by something protruding inside, but you do have the corners. So in this situation, we view everyone to be living in the center. It's as if everyone is living in the center. And it's mutter. In this situation, let's make believe that the center is larger than the base sosayim. So we learned that if you have an enclosure with a mechitza gerua that's larger than the base osayim, that's meant for one person, it's aser. Correct? We have a mechitza geruah larger than a base of sayin for one person, you're only allowed to carry dalet amos. When are you allowed to carry more than dalet amos in a mechitza geruah that's larger than a base of sayin? Only when you have a shayara, when three people are living together. In this situation, since everyone is joined together in a ruvei chatzeros, and they're all open one to another, like in this situation, we view all three to be living in the center. So even if the center is larger than the base sosayim, everyone you can carry, because we view that we have fulfilled the requirement of a shayara. Shana roim kilu kundam v'yesh gimel b'yachad v'af b'chitzonim noslam kol tzorcham. And furthermore, in the outer ones, we give them all they want. The kevon shnasu shayara be'emsa havle enoch yichotz lemsoi. Since we have in the center a shayara, the other two areas on the outside are considered to be an extension of the center. The yeishayim sama machmir shachitzoyim. The outer ones enem mutarim ella ad sosayim. Some are another pin is machmir. We only give the outer ones an area of a sosayim. Period. Okay, so let's review what we have so far. Okay, before we go further, this part of the Yeshayim, period. Okay, that concludes one major chunk of this complicated halacha. Let's review what we have. Okay, let's review the Yesod. The Yesod is, Amachitza Gorua, and Abika. A single person can only carry up to a base sosayim. If the enclosure is larger than a base sosayim, you only can carry dalet amos. However, if three people are living together in this mechitza gerua, there is no limitation whatsoever. Here we have a complex case. We have three individuals, but each one wants to have their own privacy. We have the left, the center, and the right. Three different enclosures. Do we view them to be one group, or do we view them to be three separate groups? L'may nafkamina, if in one area it's larger than a base of sayim, is that person living in that section allowed to carry more than dalet amos? And furthermore, being that they're all open one to the other, will that ruin it for the other two sections? So the Mechaber tells us, if the situation is the way I pictured over here on the table, where we have the center opens up into the two, and there's an Eruv Echatzeros, even though each one is living in a separate section, we view all three people to be living in the center. And once we have three people living in the center, automatically becomes a Shayara. And a Shayara, there's no limitation whatsoever, no matter how large the enclosure is. You can carry all you want. And once you can carry as long you want in the center, you can carry as much as you want in the left and the right. Period. Then the Mishnah Mechaber presents a situation that some are machmir. Although we allow you to, there's a shayar, we only view the shayara in the center. We don't view it to be a shayara for the left and the right. And therefore, although the center can be large in the base of sayim, the section to the left and the section to the right may not be larger than a base of sayim. Period. That's it, with the explanation of the Mishnah. Now we go to a new case. The image, I'm up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom of the Mechaber. New case, the im hachitzoinim perutzim b'milum, all the way around. Okay, so now we're going to create a case where the center, the other way around, where the center is large, okay, like this. The center is going to be the large one, and we'll do like this. The center is the large one.
There's a picture.
I don't have a picture, so I can see we're on the same page. I have a picture, but let's the other way around. Where the center is large, and the outer ones are smaller. Now, what's the rule in this case? The chitzonim are break forth into the center, and the center is megufaf, means it's closed on four sides. The yachid b'chol echad, ein noistim l'chol echad ela beis sosayim. So in this situation, everyone is only permitted to have a base sosayim. In this situation, we don't view the people on the end to be joined with the one in the center, because the people on the end don't see a fourth wall. That's the problem. In this situation, if you're living here, you don't see a fourth wall. you're living here, you only see three walls. Because since it opens up into the center, and the center is much larger, you're missing the tsura of the fourth wall. Therefore, we cannot consider you to be all living together, we're only going to give you each one a beis sosayim. And furthermore, if one of the outer ones is more than the beis it's going to hulavadu asur. The imrim tsa yosim beis osayim gan chitzayim asurim shreihein perutzim lemokam asulchem. Period. Aval im echad b'chol echad mechitzayim b'shnayim b'yam tsa yeshnayim b'chol echad mechitzayim v'echad b'yam tsa yosim l'shnei chitzayim kol tzochem dechashivi kol ma'ash b'yam tsa kilu hu b'chitzayim. Okay, now this comment halacha I'm going to go through because just the point is that these halachas only are true where you have one. However, if you have two people living here, or two people living here, or a variation, then the halacha changes. Because then we can say, since the majority is in one location, we can consider everyone living together, and then we'll give you more than what you normally will be allotted. Bamed, dvarim amurim, kishehein, psuchim zel zayoseh miyud. The only time we allow, this going back to the beginning of the first halacha, the only time that we allow these situations where the opening is less than 10 amos, when the breach is more than 10 amos, then we cannot consider there to be a wall at all. Diemkein hu pisum zel zayosem yoser, diemkein havle peritza. If it's more than 10 amos, that's the rule we mentioned many times. Whenever you have a breach in the wall that's more than 10 amos, it's no longer considered Pesach, it's considered a breach, and you don't have a wall, period. Vegam hamugufafim asurim. And then in that situation, everyone will be forbidden to carry because we don't have a fourth wall for anyone. Everything we learned so far is all going in a case where, as we said before, where the walls of the smaller or the larger one, they enter into the other rishus. Everything is nice and neat, like this, where you have the larger on the outside, you have in the center, and you have on the left and the right, and the wall comes to an end. So then the one that's inside can see walls here, and the one here can see the walls here. Then these rules do not apply. They have to enter in within at least three tvachim. Otherwise, it's considered as if you can see the wall. This is sugi later on, which we'll wait till we get to. And we'll leave that concept alone. It's a complicated concept, which we'll get to meet Hashem laws of Mavos. We'll get that concept. They're all called enclosed. So the basic rule is. The basic rule is for this siman, I know I ran it very quickly because I don't fully understand it myself, all the details, but the basic rule is in a situation where we have an enclosure, a mechitza grew in the center, and we have two smaller enclosures. If the walls do not overlap, we come to the end, it stops here, and then it goes around, we have each rishus has its own separate walls. Why? Because when you are in this area, you see four walls. You see the back wall, the wall to your right, the wall to your left, and the wall in front of you are the two extensions. You can see those walls. So we consider them to continue into your rishus, as long, of course, that you don't have a breach more than 10 amos. Even though the wall is not flush, that's the concept of it's near b'chutz, it's fine. The only time we get into the problem is where the walls enter into the larger area. Then we don't take into consideration these edges on the two sides. Then we have to consider you to be an extension of the center. We can only consider you to be an extension of the center where you enter into the larger area. But where the larger area enters into you, you can't do that in any situation, and then you're stuck, you're left out all alone. So basically we have over here three different enclosures. with a machitza that's a machitza geruah, which has the limitation of not being permitted to carry in a situation where it's larger than a beis hasayin, if somehow we can join together with an eruv chatzeros, then it will be considered a shayara. If we cannot join together, then we have to look at each person individually. When can we join together? When do we have to view each one individually? It all depends on the configuration. The variables are, are you narrower than the centerpiece, or are you wider than the centerpiece? Even if you're narrower than the centerpiece, does your walls enter into the center area, or do your walls stop before the area enclosed? Even if it enters, how much does it enter in? These are all various factors in determining if we can join all three individuals together to the status of a shayara, and then there are no limitations whatsoever, or do we have to say each one is completely independent because the walls, the way they configure, do not allow us to give each person a separate wall, and then we have three separate people. Each person only can carry, provided that his enclosure is less than a beis sasai. Okay, this is the basic gist of this siman. Now we go to the next siman. Okay, this is a lot easier. Gag hasamuch l'rishus haram. We have a roof that is adjacent to the rishus. We have an excellent picture in the Dirshim Mishnah Berurah. You see there on the bottom, you have a person has a home. The home is definitely a rishus ha-yochid. And now a person on the normal circumstance is allowed to carry from his home to the roof because it's a rishus yochid to a rishus yochid. The problem is that the house is adjacent to an elevated rishus harabim. So the people of the rishus harabim use his roof. So the question is, what status does the roof have? Is the roof considered an extension of the Rishus HaRabim? Or do we say, since the roof is on top of his home, the roof is called the Rishus HaYochid? So the Mechaber says, Gag, HaSamuch LeRishus HaRabim, Besoch Yutzvachim. So they show you in the picture, in that picture, there's exactly 9 Tvachim. It's less than 10 Tvachim from the surface of the street to the roof. Ulamalo Me'asara, but the roof on the other side is 10 tefachim above the ground. So what is the rule? Since the rabbi mishtam shimbo, since the rabbi, when they walk on the street, they put down their packages and they make use of your roof. We view the roof to be an extension of the rishus harabim. The osur lebal chagag lishtam shimbo, and the person who uses this home is not allowed to take something from his home and put it on his roof. Normally, you're allowed to go from your home to your roof because you're going from a Rosh Yochid to a Rosh Yochid. But being there, and in this instance, your roof is used by the B'nai Rosh Sarabim, your roof is considered to be an extension of the Sarabim, you will be going from a Rosh Yochid to a Rosh Sarabim. Also, La Balagag Lishtamishbo Mechatzir Achiyaslo Sulam. The solution is you have to construct a ladder, as you see in the picture. Kavua, it must be permanent. Mechatzir from your courtyard. Now then, the Mechaber concludes, Ezer Sulam, what's called Sulam Kavua? Kol Shekovei Shon Bein Lechol Bein L'Shabbos, it's permanent. Okay, now there are a lot of chidushim. We're going to read the first part of the Mishnah Berurah, so let me explain outside what's going on over here. This is a new concept. This is a concept we have not yet had so far since we started Mishnah Berurah. We have been brainwashed that there's something called a Rishta Yochid, a Rishta Rab, and a Kamlis, and a Mekoyim, to their four different Rishios. You cannot switch from one rishus to another rishus. If you have an area that's called a rishus harabim, there's no way you can make it into a rishus hayachid unless you build walls, you have a roof, you actually make a physical change into the rishus. Here we have a unique concept. We have a roof, and the roof can sometimes be a rishus harabim and can sometimes be a rishus hayachid. That's amazing. That's an extreme. You don't have, normally when you have a situation where you want to switch over from one area to another area, you're not going more than a Carmelis to a Rosh Yochid or a Carmelis to a Rosh Hashram. But to go to the extreme and switch from a Rosh Yochid to a Rosh Hashram, that is a tremendous chiddush. And that's exactly what's happening here. We have the roof. On the one hand, the roof is really part of a Rosh Hayochid because the structure is 10 Tvachim tall and it's more than 4x4 Tvachim. So it's really a Rosh Hayochid. But on the other hand, since it's adjacent to a Rishus Haram in this situation where the Rishus Haram is elevated and the B'nai Rishus Haram lean and make use of it, it should be considered to have the status of a Rishus Haram. So what is it? So the answer is, you have, if you do something to show that you only want, that you want to, that this should be a Rishus HaYachid, that's enough, it becomes a Rishus HaYachid. If you don't do something special, by default, it will gravitate towards the Rishus HaRabim. Let's see the Mishnah, the first Mishnah.
So if you put up a sign, private property, that is
it's interesting.
Something that makes it a Rishus.
That's a very good point. It seems that the Mishnah, the Mechaber, wants something more than just a sign. It wants access. Putting up a sign is good,
so
but...
if you put up another fence...
If you put up a... That's a given.
In other words, the guy owns this room.
Correct.
And he wants to make sure it stays a Rishus HaYachid.
Correct.
He has to do something...
Correct.
...to make sure that it doesn't become an extension.
But the Mechaber is very strict. He's very precise in what he requires. He requires access. Putting up a sign is not... that's just telling people what to do.
By access?
A ladder. The Mechaber says you must construct a ladder going from the ground, as you see in the picture, towards your roof. That's access. It's an extension of my Rishus HaYachid because I can travel there. Putting up a sign, I don't know if that's strong enough. It's a statement. You're making a statement, butt off. Don't.
So the ladder will limit access to other people.
It's not going to limit. People in the street.
Still use it.
People in the street can still use it. They still will. You don't even see there's a ladder there. But by you putting the ladder, you are expressing that this is a continuation of my Rishus HaYachid. And being that all of the other conditions are met, it is 10 tefachim tall, and it is 4x4, you do indeed have a real Rishus HaYachid. Let's see the Mishnah. The first Mishnah Berurah explains this in much more detail. Yes, of course. Okay, let's see the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, Sif Kod Na'alef. Besoch Asar Tefachim, Dehainu. Shall tzad rishus haram ein gvoyu tfachim. Like you see in the picture, the tzad rishus haram is less than 10 tfachim. Ul tzad chatzu gvoyu tfachim. And towards the courtyard it's 10 tfachim. The il lo hoya gvoyu tfachim af le tzad hachatzar. It's a very important concept. If your chatzar, your courtyard, from the ground until the roof is less than 10 tfachim, then that's not a rishus hayachit. There's nothing to talk about. Lo hoya mahani sulam klal dehavei rishus haram gamor kisharabim mechat malaf. If from the ground to the roof is less than 10 tefachim, there's no potential for that roof to be a rishus hayachid. Then, if you put a ladder, the ladder is not going to accomplish anything because it will naturally be an extension of the rishus haram. So we're dealing over here where it's at least 10 tefachim tall, so there's potential for the roof to be a real rishus hayachid. She'ein mechat malaf havi al kol panim karmelis. If it's less than 10 tefachim tall and it's adjacent to another area, a Rishus Rabim, and the Rabim do not use it, it cannot be called a Rishus HaYachid, it can be called a Karmelis. Okay, but Aval, Hashda, but now in our situation that we're discussing, Kevin, since the Mitzad HaChotzer HaUgavah Yotzvachim, from outside, from the ground up, it's 10 Tzvachim, Yeish Alagag Toiras Rishus HaYochit. Umotur Lishtame Shalav Kishi Yeish Loi Sulam Kavua. If now you add a permanent ladder, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. La'alos b'mechatzero legagoy debizeh. By constructing a permanent ladder, gole daito, you have revealed dimisalek legagoy min b'nei rishus harabim. You are removing your roof from the street. You don't want the people in the street to have use. You don't want them to consider it.
Shabbos, if these people do carry something, then they can...
The chayif, the mulacha deraisa of Rishus Haram to Rishus HaYachid. Fascinating. If you put up a ladder, you're not making a machitza. Until now, it's a whole new idea.
The right size.
It has the right size to be Rishus HaYachid. Normally, to make a Rishus HaYachid, you have to build walls. Here, you're able to change the status from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus Haram deraisa just through adding a ladder. No walls, just a staircase, and that changes the entire scenario. It's an incredible chiddush. And by doing, making the wall, the ein b'shach lo, the ein shach rak lo, the imit sad rishus ram gavo yitvachim, ein tzarech sulam, if then why do we say 9 tvachim? Because if the gap from the Rishus Harabim to the height of your roof is 10 tefachim, then automatically your roof is a Rishus Hayach, and then you don't even need a ladder. The only reason why it's problematic, it can be viewed as an extension of the Rishus Harabim, is because there's less than a gap of 10 tefachim from the Rishus Harabim to the top of the roof. But if you would have at least 10 tefachim from the Rishus Harabim to the top of the roof, then it would automatically be called a Rishus Hayach, and you would not even need the ladder. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. That's the basic halacha, and you see that in the picture we have the concept. Now we go to the halacha. Chotzer shnifritza b'milua, new halacha. We have a courtyard. Give us one more, just a future, one more line, and we'll just turn the page, and then we'll stop more on the time. Thank you very much. Chotzer shnifritza b'milua, we have a courtyard that's breached b'milua, o b'yoser miyud l'rishus rabim, m'koim hamachitza nidon kitside rishus rabim, shehu karmelis. We have a courtyard. The courtyard until now is a Rishus, as you see in the picture. As you see in the picture, we have a courtyard. It's the picture number 6. Okay, picture number 6 on the left side. We have a courtyard. And while there was a wall, there was no question that was a full-fledged Rishus Hayachit. Now that the wall has fallen down, you're not allowed to carry in the courtyard. The courtyard becomes a Karmelis. Okay? Because you only have, how many walls do you have? You only have 3 walls. And outside is a Rishus Harabim. The question at hand is, what status does where the wall used to stand? Where the wall used to stand, is it automatically absorbed by the Rishus Harabim? Or it has the status of a Karmelis? All the halacha is saying is that the thickness, in the ancient times, the walls were very thick. So the thickness of the wall was a significant area. Is that thickness now an extension of the Rishus Harabim, or is it an extension of it and go both ways?
Why can't we say that wall is an extension of the Rishus Hayachid?
There is no longer a Rishus Hayachid.
Being that wall, if it was standing,
it would be, absolutely, that would be called Choyre Rishus Hayachid. It would be considered a Rishus Hayachid.
It has that status.
Because there's no longer a Rishus Hayachid. The wall has fallen down. There no longer is a Rishus Hayachid. What is inside that area where there are tiles? That's a Karmelis. Outside, the black is a Rishus Harabim. The question is, what is the status of where the wall used to stand? Is that area been swallowed up by the Rishus Harabim, or has that area been swallowed up by the now new Karmelis?
So the tiled area was always a Karmelis.
Well, no, it was originally a Rishus Hayachid. When the wall was standing, it was a Rishus Hayachid. Now that has fallen down, there is no longer is a Rishus Hayachid. Now that area is a Karmelis. And now the question is, what's the status of where the wall used to stand?
It fell down on Shabbos, though.
Yes, fell down. No, it fell down before Shabbos. It fell down. It doesn't make a difference. I don't think it would make a difference. It wouldn't make a difference when it falls down. In this instance, it would not make a difference, because if it falls down, even if everyone agrees, if you have a Rishus Hayach and the wall falls down on Shabbos, you're no longer allowed to carry it on Shabbos. The laws of determining the status is limited into cases where you're dealing with numbers, Shayara, or you're dealing with what the wall was built for, the different applications, but not where the physical wall completely comes down. Let's
say the that someone hears that the Eruv came down on Shabbos.
You shouldn't tell, necessarily you shouldn't tell everyone, because Mutav Shishoygin Val Yimei Zidin. That's another issue. But
nothing to do with the status.
No.
Shabbos,
once it falls down, you're not allowed to carry. And a person that's Nizer, you should. Let's see. Chotzer Shnifritza B'milua, let's do the first of the one. Chotzer, which was breached B'milua in its entirety. So until now, the area inside was a Rishus Hayachit. Now that the wall has been breached, its area inside is a Karmelis. It's adjacent to the Rishus Harabim. Even if it was not breached in its entirety, if the breach is more than 10 amos, you saw we have many times, a breach of more than 10 amos is as if the wall does not exist. A breach of less than 10 amos can be viewed as an entrance. When it's more than 10 amos, it's considered a breach. The area where the wall used to stand is part of the inside. It's not part of the outside. Shehu ha-chotzer, which is what used to be the chotzer. Period. And therefore, what's the law? There's a leniency in regard to this. Is that what's the law in a Karmelis? You're allowed to carry in a Karmelis, dalet amos. You're allowed to carry. So if you have something there in that little picture and along one of the tiles, and you want to move it from one of the along the edge to the area where the wall used to stand, or vice versa, if there's something where the wall used to stand, and you want to bring it in less than Dalet Amos, you are allowed to do so. If the area where the wall used to stand has now been swallowed up by the Rishus Harabim, you would not be allowed to transfer even a mashahu over that boundary from where the wall used to stand inside, or vice versa. Next halacha, the Nifrats Bekeren Zavis. Let's say the corner of the wall of your courtyard has been breached. Afilu Pachas Miyud Aser, that automatically removes the status of the Rishus Hayachid. So this is, let's turn to the next page. You see the next page in the Dirshu Mishnebus, picture number 7. You see number 7, the corner has been breached, even if the gap
is that breach
less than 10 amos. Less, small, very small. It's more than 4 tefachim. It's more than 4 tefachim, but it's less than from end to end, even on a diagonal, Chazanish says, it doesn't make a difference. Corners are essential to create a reshus on Shabbos. For Shabbos, you have to have 4 walls. The 4 walls can be breached. They can have big, open gaps, as long as the gap's not more than 10 amos. There are other halachas. It has to be, even if you have gaps, you have to be more wall than parts. Oymeid, meruba, meparts. That we'll have later on. But corners is the most essential defining part of a courtyard. It shows where the walls are. So in this case, since the wall has been breached, even though the breach is 10 amos, automatically you're no longer allowed to carry inside that courtyard. And the same halach applies. The area where the wall used to be now has the status of a karmelis, does not have the status of a reshus saram. V'chein bayis, shenifrats b'keren zavis. Likewise, a house that has been breached in the corner, afilu pachas meyud v'nifrat shema gama keirui. If the roof also has fallen down in that corner, ad shenishar b'alachsoim, until the part that remains on an angle, the alachsoin osur, it is osur. Now, leave a look at the picture of the bayis, so it has been breached. That's picture number 8. You see picture number 8, you see over here this bayis, and you see the corner of the bayis is on a diagonal. You're no longer allowed to carry in that house on Shabbos. That house, even though that house, most of the wall, because you're missing 4 walls. You're in a reshus, a fascinating halacha. You would think, you're in such a house, what's the big deal? You're in an area, there are pretty much 4 walls, you're just missing the corner. If you're missing the corner, it's as if you're missing 2 walls. Avo, piritsa she'ena b'keren zavis, amrinan, but if a piritsa that's not b'keren zavis, like picture number 9, go down the page, 9, where it's not on a corner, it's one wall, even a complete wall, as long as you have a roof, we apply the principle of p tikkur v'soisim. Our pirutz of shein b'keren zavis, we would say p tikkur v'soisim afilu b'yoyser miyud v'hu shalo yehe p tikkur meshubot l'kapeh, and is provided that the roof is not on an angle. Now in this picture, the roof really is on an angle. What?
It's a slanted roof.
So it's no good. Where it's on an angle, it's no good. The only time you say pitik or you have a size, we had this before, is only when you have a flat roof. When you have a roof that is on an angle, you do not apply the rule of pitik or yod v'sayisim. So review the halacha, we'll stop here. But review the halacha, we have over here a few halachas. Number 1, we have a courtyard that was a reshus hayach. The wall falls down on Shabbos. The question is, there's a given. The area inside is no longer a reshus hayach because you only have 3 walls. The issue we want to know is what's the status of where the wall used to stand. I have to remember, today it may seem like it's insignificant. What's the big deal? A wall, how thick is a wall? But in ancient times, walls were very thick. So it was a very thick wall. Or let's say even the wall from them before Shabbos began. What is the status of the where the wall used to stand, where it's adjacent to the Rishus HaRabim? Is it swallowed up by the Rishus Rabim or by the Carmelis? The Chabad Paskins, the Carmelis. And then as a major nafkamina, kula, you're allowed to carry in that area less than Dalamis. If the wall is breached in the courtyard along the corner, you're missing your 2 walls, and it's also to carry. If even in a bayis that has a roof, if you're missing the corner and the roof is also missing, you're not allowed to carry in the home on Shabbos. If the breach is not along the corner, it's along one wall, and there's a ceiling, it depends. If the ceiling, the roof is flat, we say the edge of the ceiling comes down and closes the wall. If the edge is on a slope, you're not allowed to carry inside. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll do the Ramah tomorrow.
Number 9
would
be a sukkah.
Number a sukkah. If it would be flat, if it would be flat, it would be okay. It would be flat, yes. If it would be flat, it would be okay. Okay, we'll take a 2-minute break, and then we'll do our Tafiyomi.